is Professor Applewhite, and I am so glad to hear from you this morning. Whether you join us on chat or whether you join us on live air this morning, we are just happy to hear from you. So I just want you to be aware that this morning is July 2nd, 2011. And the reason why I'm repeating the date is that, as most of you probably know, the date is July 2nd, 2011, but there are some of us that are so stuck in the July 2nd of 2000 or the July 2nd of 1991 that we never get a chance to look at where we are right now in the present. In this present moment, we are together, you and I and many other listeners, over 20,000 now people coming in and out of the show, listening. We appreciate you from all over the world for your support, for your interest in what we're doing at White Apple Institute, the sponsor of this radio station. And we can't help but reinforce the fact that you cannot move away from the present moment. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to go back to the past and change anything. But do I need to say that again? You cannot go back to the past and change anything. So I guess that means that we can't go forward either and change anything. So the future remains just as elusive or out of touch to us as the past. So the present moment, and that's why we call it the present, because it is a present to us. It is a gift that we are aware and conscious in this present moment that we are beginning this radio show episode, and this episode is about being called special. And do you really believe that you are special or that I am special? You know, believe me, I can tell you most assuredly that as Professor Danita Applewhite, the degrees on my wall do not qualify me to say that I know it all. I certainly do not. And I guess I could say that, bottom line, I share with you whatever wisdom I have in order for you to grow, but in order for me to grow also. You see, this is not about just me, and it's not about just you. It's about all of us collectively thinking together about whether or not we are truly special, and whether we believe that we are special. Because sometimes, most of us have been told by someone at some point in our lives that we are special. And we smiled, and we accepted it. I mean, even though we did not really understand maybe sometimes what we meant when we said special, or what the other person meant when they said special to us, that you're special. We made a choice in that instant when someone said that to us to either believe what they are saying to us or to ignore the compliment. Our belief system interprets what special means to us based on our experiences. Yes. Our experiences at home, our experiences at school, at work, and other environments that we have spent time in. But most importantly, my dear friends, is how we see ourselves depends on how much we believe in the person telling us how special we are and why they think we deserve to be categorized apart from others who are not special. You know, so what do you mean when you say I'm special? Do you mean the other coworker is not special? The other students are not special? The other peers, the other teachers, the other people in my life? So if I'm a teacher and you tell me that, oh, wow, you're a special teacher, does that truly set me apart from other teachers? Do I stick out my chest and say, wow, this person thinks of me as special, and that's special to me? But what does that all really mean? Now, our chat line is open for those of you who do not wish to go online and speak, because sometimes that's a little uneasy for some people to come on live on the show. So you can go into your computer and actually chat with me, and whatever you share, and especially if you don't want your name shared, just put that in the chat, you know, do not share my name. We have a guest that just logged in to chat, so we're going to be awaiting to see how they typed in their information. So now, when we talk about this word special, you know how I always like to make sure that we're all in agreement with what special means, the definition of whatever we're saying. What does that mean? And I want you to be aware that if you just log in for a minute and you're talking to me on chat, or you come on live on the show, if you only come on for a few minutes, I just want to remind you that you can listen to the show again by just logging in and clicking the play button on the show of your choice. And there's lots of shows there. We've been on the air since January 2009. So you have many, many shows to listen to that might give you some true insight in not only what we're doing at White Apple Institute, but what you're doing in your life to help you to grow and succeed. So feel free to if you have to leave and close our discussion, just know you can come back, all right? All right, now listen. Here we go. Special, according to Webster's Dictionary, okay, and the Wikipedia, got to make sure we mention the online dictionary that's available to everybody, kind of like summarizes the word or the concept of special is, believe it or not, they use the word being in some way superior. Being in some way superior, held in some particular esteem, distinguishable from others of the same category. So, in other words, if you are all third graders, okay, and so we're talking to a group of third graders, and you pick one third grader out and say you are special, what that means is that you are acknowledging that person up and beyond the others in the same category or the same group, okay? We do the same thing, you know, when we talk about uniqueness, okay, the uniqueness of an individual or the uniqueness of a special day, okay, that distinguishes it from other days. Okay, like the upcoming July 4th weekend. Is that truly a special day? Well, for some it is. Depending on the experiences of others. That's the key. The experiences of other environments. That's what I meant to say. So if we've experienced a good thing on the July 4th holiday in our past, then more than likely we are willing to say this is a special holiday. But if we have not experienced good things on this holiday, then we don't think of it as special. That's interesting. So let's for a moment delve down the path of what you think has been a special moment for you. And I ask that those of you who are just in the chat room will be aware of this question and what does it mean to you? Okay? What makes you so special? What makes something that you've done so special? So think about that for a minute and let me know, because I'm going to share with you what I think makes me special, okay? And I'll say this and say, okay, for me, what makes me special is that I'm able to truly look inside of myself and determine what things I want to keep going in my life and what things I do not want to keep going in my life. I want to be in a place where I find joy and peace. And I do not base that on what other people think about me. Now, that's a lot. That's a mouthful, I know. But I'm really serious about how I determine what, when somebody says to me, oh, Danita Applewhite, you're special. And I interpret that as something that they've seen me do or something that they heard me say or something that I made them feel that sets me apart from their day-to-day routine. But do I believe it? I believe it based on what other people say to me and who they are. My grandmother used to say, beautiful black American woman whose grandmother was born a slave in this country. And she used to say to me, you are, your actions speak louder than your words. And you need to be aware that whoever you hang out with, the people you hang out with sometimes determine who you are and whether or not you are truly special. And we have someone in chat room right now, Black ICZ, Black Ice. And we thank him so much for being part of our show today. And we thank our other guest, who does not give their name, but they have chatted in that what they feel is special is being called out and acknowledged or awarded, that's the word they're using, getting an award for something. So we appreciate that. And that falls right into what we're talking about. The same thing occurs when we think about this gift of being unique to a special individual. Thank you, Black Isis. That when we think about special, this gift, this uniqueness, this word special, I had to research it. And it actually comes from species. You know, all words have origins. And species in itself says that, you know, we are the human species. And so are we unique from other species? Yes, we are. But why and how? And is that a good thing? When teachers call out students, one student, and says, you're special, how does that make the other students feel? Do they feel that they are special too? Or do they feel not special? What does not special feel like? Feels like maybe I was overlooked. Maybe I'm not as important as the next person. For those of us that maybe have never been called special or acknowledged for anything that we've done that stands out from other people, what does that mean for us? You know, we have a caller online, and we certainly would like to acknowledge that caller. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. This is Professor Consuelo Astete.
Oh, we always appreciate you joining us. There is, every time that you come on the show with us, Professor Astete, it is a pleasure to hear your comments. It is a pleasure to know that you support the work of White Apple Institute and trying to bring knowledge to people. And today's show is about when we call students special. Okay?
Thank you.
And I would just like to know, first off, if you don't mind, you've probably called students special or thought of some person as special. Why do you say that? What makes them stand out to you?
Well, I have never really said it out loud to anyone, mm-hmm. but I have certainly thought that within myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would apply to the theme that you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
were you thinking of the student as special or of yourself?
The student. The student is
okay.
Very special.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the characteristics would be a very respectful person, very thoughtful, as well as contributing to the class. And
mm-hmm.
also it would include intelligent, it would include many things.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never really made one stand out in front of the class against others.
But you said intelligence, right, intelligence and their contribution.
Their contribution, and more than that, these people are unique in that they act so mature in the class, like they would not volunteer answers that are, you know, not very well thought out. They would
mm-hmm.
kind of wait until everybody has given their answer, and then they're very, very nicely, very courteously,
wow.
and without
uh-huh.
attracting attention to themselves, they just give you the best answers sometimes. And,
yes,
So there are some special people, especially, but I don't know if that's only something very personal or subjective, that that's just the way I feel about a certain
mm-hmm.
student. But I certainly have never really made one feel, you know, in front of the class feel better than others. I praise
yes.
everyone equally for
mm-hmm.
their contributions.
And that's important. That's important that, especially as teachers, and again, let's review with our audience that the student-to-teacher show is about everyone at one time in their lives, or sometimes at the same time, we become students and teachers, okay? So this
mm-hmm.
is not just about the teacher in the academic classroom, this is about the teacher within you, and that as a student, we're all absorbing information all the time. We're taking in information. Our brain will do it whether we want to or not. And then the teacher within us is the one who wants to share that information with other people. And the difference, I guess, I'd like to say, the big difference between the teacher who is in the academic environment and the one that is not is that we expect the teachers in the academic environment not to make us feel uncomfortable. We're supposed to be acknowledged for our efforts. We're supposed to feel good when we come into that classroom, and that's what we certainly hope for. But yeah. We know that that's not always true. And we know that, as you said a moment ago, and I think that's real important, that we look at not, especially in some classrooms where we have a lot of sensitivities going on with students, we don't want to pull one out or identify someone and make others feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
But the same thing happens in the workforce. Now, here's the question, though, that we need to think about. So when do we actually say someone has done something that needs to be acknowledged? When do we actually give the award or the, what comes to mind immediately is the special parking place that's given to employees when they have great attendance or something like that, and they get a special parking space, which means that, of course, other people don't get it. And there's a big sign in front that says Employee of the Month and sometimes Student of the Month when we're talking about an educational environment. We have stickers that parents get to put on the back of their car. My son or my daughter is special, okay? They received an honor, they're on the honor roll. So you see, no matter what happens in our society, we have a way of distinguishing certain things that people do from others. And it may or may not make someone feel uncomfortable, so they make them feel bad. Why didn't I get that? You know, when somebody has said to you, a mother, say for instance a parent who has many, many children, and say, you know, 3-4 children, and she singles one out as, you did something special, mommy loves you because you did something special, how does that make the other siblings feel? What do we do with this word special? We've got to figure out some kind of way of balancing when we acknowledge someone for doing special things or saying special things or making somebody feel special from those who do not, without isolating those who have not done something special. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's something that maybe we don't think very much about, because mm-hmm. the general idea is that you have to reward behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So you reward behavior. And, of course, that must be difficult for parents that have several children. I only had one child, so I really don't know.
Uh-huh. Right, on that one, but you've had multiple students, and
yes.
Through the years, and so the same thing applies.
Yes,
you
but
know?
I think
and
that's
I,
a little different.
Okay, go ahead.
May I interrupt you?
Sure.
Well, I think there's a difference between, you know, the classroom environment. And in general, the school policy or the
mm-hmm.
school way of incentivizing students by proclaiming one student the student of the month, I think
mm-hmm.
that is it's different, because we do need to have incentives for students.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
To perform better, you know, academically. Or sometimes they mix that a little bit with their contribution to the whole school body of students and teachers
mm-hmm.
and things mm-hmm. like that. Don't you think there's a little difference, you know? And it seems that it's commendable to do that, because the students will try to excel as well in order to be to be proclaimed special.
And let's examine that. That's a very, very good point. Because one of the things that I think is important for us to learn as educators is that many of the things that we do inside of the classroom, in school environments, in work environments, as employers, is very reflective of what we do at home and what we've learned from our home environment, okay? And so let's look at what you said for a moment. In the home environment, do we want to acknowledge a child for doing something special because we want to motivate them to continue to be, to go on that pathway of their older brother or sister or another child who's done something like, you know, received an A in the classroom. And maybe the other child is not receiving A's, and so the parent acknowledges the child with the A, which in some ways isolates the other child. And sometimes
you're right.
Doesn't allow them to excel. You know, the acknowledgement at home is even more important, do you think? I mean, I'm just exploring the possibility here that the acknowledgement at home would be more important than at school.
Well, but I think, you know, you can do it at home, but in a different way. You mm-hmm. should never do it in such a way that the other siblings are going to feel less or envious or, you know, because you would be instigating negative feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if a child does well, it should just be self-evident to the rest without really doing too much of an emphasis on that child. Maybe, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
I in a subtle way, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you should never make the other children feel less, because each person is different, too. We have to remember
right.
that. Each person has different talents, different gifts, and one child may excel at one thing, but the others may excel at others, and the parent actually should be stimulating the other children to also excel in their natural talents and gifts. I think that would be a better way of doing it.
Yes, and how about the balance of saying, and I think that balance is a good word to use here, okay? Let's explore that for a moment. If we balance out saying that, you know, when we acknowledge someone for being special, and then we say, you're also special because you did this,
exactly.
and you're also special because
exactly.
you did this.
Exactly.
So Johnny, you're special. Sally, you're special. Susan, you're special. Jose, you're special. So if we're going to acknowledge the special things in an individual, then we want to make sure that we do that maybe across the board, and that would be at home when we have many children at home, if we have, you know, three or four or more children, and that would be whether we're in the classroom and we have 30 or 40 students, and that's becoming more of a reality, unfortunately, with
mm-hmm.
Detroit and I think Minnesota recently has just closed down 500 schools. So imagine how not special many of those teachers and those students feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
That because of our economic recession, that they weren't special enough to be kept in a classroom. That their job was not performed well enough to be kept in a classroom. Many of them may take on that attitude. And something came up from one of our chat room hosts, our co-host, Black Icings. Thank you so much, Bill, for sharing this with us. He's bringing out that special has various connotations, various meanings, and that depends on one's social orientation. And this is so important when we look at social and cultural issues and even psychological issues, one's personality. that we look at how a person is receiving a compliment, how a person is distinguishing what is special, because this Bill hit it right on the head about what this show is really about. And that's part three of three, Bill. You're ahead of me here, okay? And you'll see that when you see part three go up on the roster about our upcoming shows. He's talking about in the field of special education. And that's exactly what this show is leading to. I always have these little quirks of starting someone off thinking about a concept of something and then moving them into what we're really, the crust of really what we're talking about. And special education is where we're going. What, when we say special education in this country, we're not really talking about acknowledging someone for their academic performance, okay? And that is a cultural issue. Because when we say you're going into special education, that's not a happy face usually. Okay? That's a sad face. And so when we, you know, when we look at the uniqueness of an individual and we say, well, this distinguishes you, this places you apart from others. Okay? And we hope that as Bill was saying here in his chat, that the school environment reinforces the positive image that's been instilled in one's home. But you see, you can't reinforce something if the original intent is not there, and that original intent goes back to the home, especially when we're talking about children. But it's not so horrible that we're associating it with even spouses, okay? When a spouse says, you're special, baby, you know, you're special. So is the woman or the man supposed to feel that, okay, well, he thinks I'm above and beyond what he's been used to dealing with, so I'm really special? Now, this is something that gets me, okay? And you got me going too, Bill, here. Okay, now, when I hear someone call me special, Professor Estete, and then I hear them call somebody else special, I get a little confused. Because I'm like, wait a minute. I thought you said I was special. And now you're saying that to three or four other people. And I heard you say it to somebody last week. So what do you mean when you say I'm special? So now we start doubting whether or not that person really means what they're saying. As I said earlier, I said we look at the person who says it to us. And that's what becomes the believable part in whether or not we're special, is who's saying it and why they're saying it. Does that make sense? Mind blower.
Mm. But it goes back to the something that I think Bill said, that it depends on the meaning of special. What do we mean by special?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It has several meanings.
Right, it has several meanings. And then when we look at now, they're, collectively, we start dealing with, and thank you, the other guest that's on chat room, I don't mean to ignore what you're saying, but you're kind of like piggybacking on everything else, so we appreciate your chat also. And so I just want to acknowledge that. But it goes back to what he was saying about, what was it, the social orientation. And I brought in the culture. So it depends on what we feel in our particular cultural background about the word or the concept of special. And there are many groups, many tribal groups, especially in, say, for instance, in the Native American cultures, okay? And with that, comes the issue of, we don't want to say anybody's special.
Mm.
You're all special. And one of, as a matter of fact, Bill and the other guests, we have another guest that just logged in to chat. Our chat room's really busy today. that we are all special in different ways. And so if we just acknowledge that and don't think about it, and if it's the ego that comes into play, right, Professor Astete, the ego comes
exactly.
into play when
yeah.
when we are talking about special. And then all of a sudden we start gleaming and we say, oh, special, oh my, you know, above and beyond. I'm a special athlete. I'm a special student. I'm a special wife, a special husband, okay? So all of these things, you know, make a difference in how we view this concept of special. And do we do that when we apply it to people who are special in a way where they're not academically astute? They're not performing that well in the academic environment. Are they still special in the school environment? Normally they're not. Normally they're not. And so because of the culture we live in here in America and our school systems, special education is not looked at as special, as a good thing. And then special when you hear other people being acknowledged as special without identifying what they're special for, and you just hear this person going around or this teacher going around and calling everybody special. That doesn't make me feel that I'm unique. And here's a great scripture that just came in. Thank you so much for sending in Matthew 25:25, and it says God has given us all very unique talents. You know, I may only have one, but I pray that God will understand that I plan to be very proud and happy to work that single talent to pieces. That's right. Mm-hmm. That talent that we have, whatever it is acknowledged as unique and apart from others. And we want to, going back to what you said, Professor Astete, we want to look at intelligence, the intelligence of the person that we're saying it to, the contribution that that person has made. And intelligence, not necessarily intelligence, I want to expand on that point just a little bit. You said when you're looking at a student and you're thinking about the student, even though you don't say you're special, you're looking at their intelligence level. Their intelligence might not be based on their academic performance, but you talked about their maturity and their courtesy and their organization. I kind of heard you say something about the way they present their, you know, they get their materials together and they're right on the subject. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So for that, you, in your mind, you're seeing them as, wow, and you can't help it as a teacher say, I wish I had 29 more of those students. So if you have one out of 30 like that, you want all of them or at least 50% of them to fall into that special realm of being organized and intelligent and contributing to the class and not, you know, making other people feel bad. Okay, the maturity you want, especially at the higher education level. You know, once people get to at least the level of I'd say high school, maybe even junior high school now, because as we know, the maturity levels are happening a lot faster than they did 20 years ago. And so we want at the junior high school level for this word special to truly be understood. That we're not saying, hello, wait a minute, come back here, student. Come back here, my child. Come back here, my husband or my wife. I didn't mean that you are above and beyond anyone else. What I meant is that the actions that you just displayed are special to me. the words that you just spoke to me are special to me. And most importantly, the way you make me feel is special to me. And now we're identifying and personalizing this word special. And if we did that more in special education, which we'll get into more in part 3 of 3 as we begin to conclude and summarize some of these ideas on being special, that we'll be able to see even next week when we explore this again, that we are truly, all of us, unique and beautiful human beings. And we all have something special about it. And even though I have to share this, one of the chats that just came into, it says, we are using a traditional method of defining this word special, and that I truly should by now be challenged. Mom was a teacher for over 40 years, and his ex-wife, I assume, is a teacher. Baby daughter is a teacher for a year now, okay? And so, you know, being a teacher, and I hope that you can encourage him to come on to the show and share some of their ideas about or stories about how people have been acknowledged as special and what that really means. Because we cannot go around and isolate others by acknowledging the talents of other people without being a little bit more specific about what we're talking about. I remember myself, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but I remember sitting in auditoriums, and maybe I even do that now. I'm 58 years old, and I think that, you know, I'm one of those weird kind of non-traditional women. I don't say weird in a positive way, but that I don't mind saying my age. Okay, I'm going to be this age, and I'll be 59 next year, and so we can avoid it as much as we want. But I think that makes me special in itself to be able to say my age, and. But let me go back to what I was trying to say. I sit there sometimes in auditoriums, and I remember doing this as a child, the assemblies, you know, the student assemblies, and somebody else would get an award for something. And I'd sit there and say, but I did that too. I did that. How come I didn't get an award? What makes the difference in someone being picked and the others not being picked? Because that kind of like is the same thing we're saying, special towards not special. What is that?
Well, there's definitely politics involved many times.
Yes. Yes. And we don't look for balance in politics, okay?
Uh-huh.
Politics, yeah, that's right. Politics. What student or worker is going to be the best display for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So even though we have other employees that are doing a great job, we want to acknowledge this employee because this employee is really working hard. And also they are representative of our company. And they also have computer skills, and they speak two languages. So it's a political decision that gets made. And so we need to realize that sometimes when we don't get acknowledged for our special talents, don't get too wrapped up in it. Don't take it so personal, as Miguel Ruiz writes in the 4 Personal Agreements. Great book. He says, please don't get personal, because that's one of the things that starts working within us and making us angry and then turns into depression, is when we think we've been overlooked. Because sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's simply that as Bill, the chat room host this morning, is saying that it's sometimes recognition is based to him on the caste systems concept. And that is so true, because if we look at what they're trying to do in India right now is eliminate this horrible caste system. I don't mean to be judgmental, but I guess I am by just calling it horrible, because to me personally it feels uncomfortable to know that I have a choice in how I'm born and what family I'm born into, but yet if I'm born into a family that's in a lower caste system in India, I'm not going to be acknowledged as special. And that's just the way it is. But they're working now on changing that so that other people have a chance to be acknowledged. And, you know, as our chatter comes out and says, you know, who works hard? Who does the most in a classroom or in a job setting? Okay? I mean, isn't that pretty subjective? Isn't that somewhat judgmental? And certainly, as you said, Professor, it is political. Okay? It is truly political. And so when we look at even from personal recognition within our families, and then we look at public recognition. So, and I'm using that to go back to our discussion earlier about the parent and the children in the home, not in association with the student in the classroom or the employee, that it basically is the same premise. Because believe it or not, parents that are not aware of this, of what they're doing, and most of the time they're not. They're not aware of what they're doing. When they single out one child and say you're special, and the other children feel like, you know, well, why is dad or mom picking them out? You know, why are they always talking about what they do? And feeling that, you know, I'm not the same. The only way that we can truly acknowledge the special part in us is to believe it ourselves. Now, when we're children, that's pretty hard to do because we don't have the tools. So as we grow older and we're looking at, you know, how do I pull this being special thing into my own belief system? Sometimes we have to go back to one of my other very, very good friends and I'll have to say one of my mentors even, Nazim Rashid's book, Reconnected, who's on our chat right now, who creates an issue of the virtual reality in his book, of encouraging people to look inside of themselves and create a virtual environment so that they can praise themselves, so that they can pat themselves on the back and create the parents or the teachers that would give them that little hug or that smile. So if we don't get it in our own physical world, Nazim Rashid encourages us in his book, Reconnected, to establish our own virtual environment and come up with virtual parents and virtual teachers that will hug us and acknowledge us as special. Special specifically for what we do. Special specifically for how we feel about ourselves, what our actions are. So all of our actions need to be in a realm of, I'm special. I'm special. I'm not better than anyone else. Yeah, that's a good way to close with this. I'm not better than anyone else. I just, some of my actions set me apart. And for that moment, if you will, that special moment, I did something special in that moment. And that's why my teacher called me special. So I'm not going to go out on the playground and knock somebody around and say, you're a dummy, you're not good enough, because Mrs. Johnson and Mr. Brown said, I'm special. You're not. We're not going to go home to our wives and husbands and ignore their compliments about being special. We're going to ask them, honey, when you said I'm special just now, what do you mean? What do you mean, honey? So that I can really get this. And ask the question. Do you agree, Professor? Ask the question sometimes. Excuse me, would you mind just helping me out to understand? When you said I was special a moment ago, what did you mean? It's important for me to know, what did you mean when you said that? And listen. Let that inner voice, that inner self, listen and interpret for you what they're saying. Sometimes they can't. You notice that sometimes when you ask people, you know, why do you love me? That they always hesitate at first.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that they don't love you. It's just that they're trying to figure out the words. You know, wait. You asked me, how do I love you? I mean, right? Many of us do that. So what do you mean when you say I'm special? No. Know what we mean when we call out that word, when we assign that concept of special. Be aware of the culture. Be aware of, especially teachers here, be aware of the social orientation. Okay? Be aware of how that person is interpreting what you're saying. Because they might not be getting the right message. And you certainly don't want to be responsible for someone misunderstanding that you might be saying that they're better than somebody else, especially with children. In the last few moments, we have about less than 5 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about a concept that is going around in our schools a lot. And actually, we think it's about children doing this, but really, we do it. It's called bullying. And Black Isis brought this out in his chat about bullying. And that's what I was talking about a moment ago, about the student going into the playground and making other people feel bad because, you know, they were called out and acknowledged as being special. And so they think that they're better than other people, okay? But there's a reverse of that, too. The reverse of that is that I wasn't called special, and you're no better than I am, so I'm going to beat you up, or I'm going to make you feel bad, or I'm going to scorn you. I'm going to talk about you on the job. I'm going to make your job miserable because you don't do anything more special than I do. So what, you came in on time all last week or all last month? So you got Employee of the Month Award. I come in early, too, sometimes, and I didn't get it. So I'm going to, as the kids say today, don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Wow. That concept, and so don't be a hater means don't put me down because I'm doing something that you think is great. You can do it, too. Come on. You can do it too. You like the clothes that I wear? You like people looking at me and saying, "Oh, you dress nice." Then go get yourself some clothes so you can look nice too. Or let me help you. Let me show you a few things I do, because I go to Goodwill and get this. Boy, is anybody going to say that? Not too many people. But even though I went to the extreme on that, the point is that if we reach back and teach people how to help others to feel special, we can't do that unless we feel special. Now, I know that makes sense to all of our listeners out there. How on earth can we tell somebody else that you're special and we don't feel special? It goes back to something that I can't help but bringing up my grandmother, a woman with less than a third grade education. And every time I teach a psychology course, I always open up talking about my grandmother from Wilson, North Carolina, who said to me, bottom line is that you cannot love someone else if you do not love yourself. So therefore, the same thing happens when we say special. You cannot call someone else special unless you feel that way too. Within your own social context, within your own culture, whatever special means to you. So if anybody's listening on the line right now and they're in China or they're in Nigeria, I know that we have some people listening in from Nigeria and from India. It's still the same thing. And in different parts of those countries, culture changes the way we look at special. Culture changes the way we look at special from the hills of the Appalachian hills in Tennessee to those children that grow up on Venice Beach or Malibu in California. Some groups, ethnic groups, grow up believing that they are special and better than other groups. And we're not going to get into all that right now because we've got less than a minute left. So I'm going to say to you that I appreciate you for being here this morning, this Saturday morning, July 2nd, 2011. Stay in the present moment, okay? No future, no past can be changed. It's where we are right now. Much love and peace. Talk to you next Saturday. This is Professor Applewhite signing out to all our special listeners. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this great music from River Nile. Remember it, Apple.